I've been praying and asking and seeking God's direction and guidance and to where we need to go. And I really sense that, you know, God wants to push us into the deeper things of God, to understand greater things about His presence. And we're going to be talking about His presence again this morning a little bit. We talked about that last week. We want to talk about it again. But there's some things very specifically that I believe that He wants us to move in. He wants us to prepare for. He wants us to get in sync or get in line with the kingdom of God and His principles. Because we know that if we are citizens of the kingdom of God, the greatest way that we'll receive benefits from the kingdom of God is to live by kingdom of God principles. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, the greatest benefit that we can get out of living in this nation of Canada is to live according to the principles of the government of the nation of Canada. But abide by them. In fact, the scriptures teach us to abide by the rules of the kingdom. And I have some things to share with you this morning and some things that may be just a little bit difficult in some fashion or another, may not be for most of you, and it won't. But I will say this, that I'm really concerned about the things specifically that God speaks to me about. I feel compelled to share them with you. Some other things when I'm teaching, and there's some things that I learn and some from studying the Word and so forth that I share with you, good principles that I believe is really comes from the Spirit of God as well through studying and teaching. But sometimes God speaks to us specifically about something very specific. When he speaks to me about those things, then I want to share them, and I want to share what He spoke to me this morning. As I woke up about 4 o'clock and God spoke to me as I laid there in bed about this area concerning giving and concerning being in sync with what God calls us to do as a church, because this has so much to do with the presence of God. What we do with our giving, because it's such a principle through all our scripture, is directly related to enjoying the presence of God or having the presence of God amongst us as a people and individually, both corporately and individually. And so I want to share with you, it is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, and it speaks to us there about bringing the tithe into the storehouse. It says to us in Malachi chapter 10, 11, it says, "Do this and I'll do something else." Let's go to verse 11. "And I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of the ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field." In other words, I will rebuke the devourer so that you might prosper. That's pretty clear. That's what he's saying there. Now, what I woke up this morning and I felt very impressed by the Lord concerning this verse, He said, as a church, as a people of God, you cannot get away from paying the tithe because it belongs to Him. You cannot. He doesn't say that some will and some don't. He said, everybody pays it. Everybody pays the tithe. Now, some pay it to one source, some pay it to another source. And he said, for those who will not bring the tithe into the storehouse of God, giving it to the Lord, then you end up paying the tithe to the devourer. Because the devourer will eat your tithe. You'll have a car breakdown or something will happen in your home, or you'll get sick and have to miss a day's work or whatever. Something will happen, but the tithe is going to be paid. And if we don't give it to the Lord, then the devourer gets it. And whatever you feed will grow in your life. This is what he said to me. He said, if you feed the devourer, then the devourer is going to become stronger in your life. So if we put the tithe in someplace else, if we think we're not paying our tithe, think that we're not giving our tithe to the Lord, then it goes to the devourer automatically. Goes to the devourer. And the more you feed him, the bigger he gets. Spoke to me pretty strongly about how we are supposed to move with our tithe and bring it before the Lord, because everybody has got to pay it. I was listening to somebody this week concerning that, and he was saying even John Lennon, John and Oko, they pay the tithe. A lot of people don't think about that and don't look about even the secular world, how they, many times, the good corporate stewards, they pay, and they always seem to use the 10% as a guideline of what to give. It is such a spiritual principle right from the time of the garden, right into the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, where the Bible talks about Abraham paying a tithe to Melchizedek, which was not part of the law, but before the law ever took place. And even many theologians believe even in the Garden of Eden, even in the garden when Adam and Eve were there, the part of the signifying the tithe was this tree that they weren't supposed to eat from. As you notice that they were supposed to take care of that tree as well, but they weren't supposed to take any fruit from it. So right from the beginning to end, we see that taking place. I believe the Lord is moved upon me to share this because he wants us to be in a place where there is no room for the devourer individually or corporately amongst us. Because if we were a church, for instance, that didn't tithe, I'm talking about corporately now, because everything that comes into the church financially, we pay a tithe on that as well. And over and above, we give. And so we keep the devourer out of our midst. We don't give him a foothold when we pay our tithe, because God said he would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. I say, praise God. God himself rebukes the devourer. You know, that's the only time God ever says in Scripture that he'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And the rest of the time he says, you do it. If it's a demon that is bothering you, you rebuke it. You command it to leave in Jesus' name. But when it comes to this specific area, the Lord says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. That's an awesome blessing.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome blessing. If you agree with me, say amen.
Amen.
Well, stand up with me, if you will, please, and we'll pray as we receive our tithe and offerings this morning. God, we thank you for your awesome goodness, Lord. I thank you, Father, for your grace. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your hand of blessing upon us. I thank you that you, Lord, are the one that sees every heart. I thank you so much, Father, that it is your desire to commune with us, Lord. And as we walk in obedience to your word, Father, we believe, Father, it opens the door for you, your presence to come. And God, you carry everything within your presence. Now, Father, as your people give this morning, I thank you for your blessing upon the giver, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for your blessing upon the seed that is sown, Father. I thank you for a real good offering today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship God with our tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit speaks to me today. I thank you that I have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Please help Pastor Bill speak words from heaven to me today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I mean that prayer with all sincerity, because I do want to hear from heaven. I take it as a huge responsibility to speak words from heaven to you. I wait on God and pray, and I do believe God speaks to me about things to share with us. And I've mentioned before that I believe God wants us to move into a place of being more of a supernatural church, or supernatural people, I should say, than what we have come to. And the church is going to begin to function in the supernatural in a far greater way than what we've seen in the past. And when I speak about the church, I'm not just speaking about this church. I'm saying I know what's going to happen in the church in general. As a church, I don't want to be left behind. I want to move in that too. I want to be ready to move. And one of the reasons why I know the church is going to be a church that is moving in the supernatural, because in order to get the attention of the world, there's going to have to be a supernatural power from God to come to us from heaven to be able to get the attention of the world to bring in the lost into the kingdom of God. to pluck those out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. This is a supernatural event that takes place when a person comes from the kingdom of darkness and are translated into the kingdom of God. Supernatural things happen. An awesome thing happens when this experience takes place in a person's life. Now, so there's got to be supernatural activity around that kind of thing. You know that when salvations are coming into the kingdom, supernatural activities are taking place. And one of the grave situations that the church gets into is the church individually starts to begin to think that we can live a Christian life without the supernatural power of God. We cannot do it. We can fake it to others and ourselves even to think that we're doing okay, but we cannot live the Christian experience without God encounters or without having the supernatural power of God manifested some way, somehow in our lives. Even if it's in prayer, you know if you're having supernatural experiences in prayer or not. You know. And I believe that's where it should start, in prayer. But we all know these things. Now, we must be determined not to even try to live a Christian life without the supernatural power of God. The supernatural power of God is a must. You cannot bring somebody into the kingdom to get them to pray by getting them to pray a little prayer. You cannot do it. There has to be supernatural power released in order to bring people into the kingdom of God. Therefore, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God to be with us continually at all times. And that's what I want to share a bit this morning again about the presence of God. I want to read from Exodus 33:15. Moses knew this very, very clearly, that they could not live a life for God without his power, especially in the situation that they were in when they came out of Egypt and they were out there in the desert. And God was about to tell them to go in, I'll take you into the land, but I'm going to send an angel with you because I'm not going because you're too stiff-necked to people. And so we'll start reading at Exodus 33:15. Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us?" Now, I want to challenge you today to realize that you cannot, the world around you, your friends, your neighbors, your loved one, cannot know that the grace of God is upon you unless the presence of God goes with you. There's no way for people to know that God is blessing you unless they see the presence of God upon you. Now, I don't necessarily mean by your physical eyes, but I do mean by you're living your life in such a fashion that it's obvious that the presence of God is upon you. And if they can't see that, then you're not going to have much of an opportunity or effect in witnessing to them. So that should tell us we need to do much in order to maintain the presence of God in our lives. Every day, to be aware of the presence of God. When we get up, we know, like when I woke up at 4 o'clock this morning, I knew God was in the room. I knew God was speaking to me. I was aware of his presence. Sometimes his presence catches you off guard. Other times, all you have to do is stop for a moment and just become aware of the presence. Become aware that he's here, that he's around you, that he's with you. Become aware that his presence. You know, when we come corporately together, there's no greater place than you can become aware of the presence of God. Because Jesus said, two or three are gathered there in my name, I will be in the midst of them. He swore by his word that he would be here. So we can know that he's here this morning. We know then that thoughts that come to our mind many times, you know, they are thoughts that he's trying to get into our heart. And he wants us to grab a hold of them even as we think about them in this kind of a setting. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 says this, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory." His power has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we know for a fact that he has given us all things. He has given us all things that pertain to this life. Now we know that we can gain these things as we walk with him and love him. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So if we are going to express love to him, one of the greatest ways we express love to him is we keep his commandments. we do the things that he calls us to do. Some of the awesome things, the benefits that we have as kingdom people, all things have been given to us. Luke 12, 32, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's the benefit of being the child of God. It's his good pleasure. In 1 Timothy 6, 17, Paul exhorts Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So he gives us the things that we enjoy. This is benefits of the kingdom of God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So every good and wonderful gift that you have in your life has been given to you by God. Isn't that wonderful? Most of the time, a lot of time, we'll think of material things when it comes to that, but maybe it's not material things at all. And we'll get into that in a little bit, if we have time this morning. Now, let me read just quickly Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me. Remember what Jesus said? If you love me, keep my commandments. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Think about having the presence of God. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. And this scripture, I know, excites us when it comes to, we look at how much God wants to bless us, how much even material blessing God wants to pour out on us. And yet there are far greater blessings, there are far greater treasures than material wealth. But yet, He knows that that speaks to mankind as well, and he wants us to know that it's his desire for us. When he comes, he brings that with him. When his presence comes, he brings that with him. And so getting the presence of God, he says, these other things are with me. Riches and honor are with me. But he also says this. He says, I walk in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. So if we want the presence of God, we must walk on the same path he walks on. That makes sense? If we're going to be where God is, then we have to walk on the path that he is on. And he says, I walk in the way of righteousness and in the path of justice. So we're going to have to live our lives according to God's justice, according to the way God says to live it. And if we'll do that, God will bring blessing to us. But yet, the vast majority of the church many times will have no problem with doing things that is outside the justice of God. Again, we already mentioned Malachi 3:10. You know, will a man rob God? And yet, many people rob God. Many people, you know, by keeping the tithe away. But yet, God says, I walk in the paths of justice. So if you're going to be with me, you're going to have to pay attention to what I call justice. Because if you try to get away with something that is outside the justice of God, then I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be somewhere else. And in my presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand are pleasures forevermore. So his presence, we desire to be with us. His presence must go with us.